Hello, my friends. This is Heather McAllister here, and I am a health and life coach. And today I am talking about burnout versus stress, understanding the difference between the two. And this is something actually that I'm really excited to talk about because it is something that I have dealt with, and I think a lot of people are dealing with currently. So much so that it's impacting their weight loss and life and just feeling good and being able to participate in everyday life in a positive way. And so I really want to talk about this topic. And I actually was just reading an article about burnout and stress in preparation for this. And the statistic in the article was that 2 out of 5 workers in the United States are experiencing burnout currently. And it causes, so if you're listening to this podcast because you've found me for weight loss coaching and you are experiencing burnout, it could be very well be one of the biggest causes of your weight gain problem, because a lot of times people in burnout mode are actually emotionally eating because of the stress that they're experiencing in their lives. So just keep that in mind. That's definitely something that I've seen so much with my coaching clients. And I think as women in general, we just take on so many responsibilities, and we've all often been raised to, you know, please people and not complain and not be negative and all of these things that can contribute to our feelings of burnout. So I'm going to go over what burnout is, kind of, you know, the difference between that and stress. And I'm going to get into a little bit of the physiology of all of it because I think it helps to make sense out of it. And then talk about some strategies that can help you if you are experiencing some of this in your life. So burnout is, again, it's something that, you know, I was just alluding to being a really, really important topic. And I'm actually making this kind of an essential part of my health and life coaching program because, again, I've seen this, I think, with almost everybody that I've been coaching lately, that they're just so stressed out to the point where it is kind of either bordering on burnout or they're in burnout mode. And I think that's actually one of the reasons why people struggle so much with weight loss, because it's really hard to feel motivated if you are overwhelmed in life and all of these other things are going on. And it's hard to stay on a healthy path and, you know, keep going when things are tough. Like if you're trying to lose weight, it's not always easy. It's really, really hard to find the energy to exercise or to cook healthy foods or even to plan healthy meals when you're in this overload mode and you're in burnout. So I'm really, really excited to talk about this. I really want to help you all develop some resilience. And this is something I've actually experienced myself. And I may get a little bit into that as well. But being emotionally resilient to stress, because it's out there, there's not a whole lot we can do about all of the stressors that are out there. Some things we can impact in the decisions that we make. But we can't get rid of stress in our lives, but we can change how we react and we cope with stress. And I think that's one of the important things in realizing that there are options. And sometimes we need a little motivation or inspiration on how to handle things a little differently. And sometimes hearing it from someone else, kind of giving you permission, although you never need someone else's permission on this, but you know, it has helped me sometimes just be like, oh, it's okay to say no to people. So there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. But one of the things is, if you think about it this way, and this has driven home this message to me. So I have observed people in the same stressful environment as me handle it very differently than me. And I've often wondered, like, why am I so prone to this stress? It just seemed like some really obscure sort of thing about me. What makes me so much more of a victim to stress than other people? Some people can just, you know, things fall off their shoulder and they take it in stride and it doesn't impact the way it impacts me. I'm just a, you know, these are the things that I would say to myself. I'm just a sensitive person, or it's just who I am. I just, you know, can't handle stress the way other people can. And I know now that that's not necessarily true. I do think that, you know, there's probably some biological or physiological susceptibility to being triggered into stress. But it's really the way we look at things and what we make stress mean that either allows it to sort of roll off our shoulders or continues to bother us. So I also want to say that lately my experience, so I work in healthcare and I've been in healthcare for 25 plus years. And lately my experience in this industry is that people are so burnt out. And it's been over the past few years, but I feel like lately, and I don't know if it's just a little microcosm of where I work and what I'm doing, but people are just on the verge, like really losing it, just really like almost in tears, just feel like, I feel like people are trying to pull their hair out because they don't know what to do. They're just so overwhelmed emotionally and depleted. And I know this is happening, and there are so many pressures for us to perform and go above and beyond. And sometimes it's just too much. Sometimes we're just being pushed to go beyond what we are humanly capable of at times. And I'm wondering why now? Why is it becoming so much worse lately? And I have yet to really put my finger on all of that. So that's just a side note. But it's a topic that I'm really passionate about and something I really, really want to help people out with, almost more so than weight loss. Because like I said, you know, some of these, you know, overwhelmed feelings or this stress and I'm going to get into a little bit about all of that, but it impacts how our body, you know, metabolizes food and can drive us to eat. And I've experienced burnt out. Now, looking back at my entire career, multiple times in my career, I've just had overwhelm and burnout to the point where, you know, it's made me make some kind of crazy decisions in my life, like literally, like, I just can't do this anymore kind of decisions. Other times, before I had a family and kids, I would literally come home from work and put the covers over my head and not call people. And I'm sure people were wondering, like, what the hell's the matter with her? You know, why doesn't she call us anymore? And I literally just emotionally did not have anything left. I was so depleted. But over the years, and getting into coaching has actually really profoundly changed me, because I'm able to recognize it and understand these patterns and also realize that I'm not hopeless in all of this. Things don't just happen to me. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about what's the difference between stress and burnout, because there is a difference. Stress is really the very beginning stages of burnout. So if you look at stress burnout on a continuum from like 0 to 10, right? You know, you have 0 being no stress whatsoever. And then, you know, stress kind of builds, and 10 would be like you're in burnout mode. Now, some stress is actually really good for us. It pushes us to move. I mean, there, you know, when there's just the right amount of stress, it sort of pushes us to evolve and change and learn, and maybe makes us do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do in a positive way, right? But what happens with stress that's chronic on a day-to-day basis, if we're not dealing with it properly, meaning we're not completing the stress cycle, which I'm going to talk about, it can accumulate in our body. And this is what kind of leads to overstress and then eventually burnout. So I think it's important for us to talk about what's going on from both a physiological standpoint and a psychological standpoint. So stress to our brain creates this fight or flight response. You probably have heard this before. It's our body's survival instinct. And there, it's a little more complicated than just fight or flight, but I'm going to keep it simple for this topic right now. But basically, our fight or flight evolved to keep us alive, right? So if you think about the story of the lion chasing us, right? So you see a lion, it's going to chase us. It wants to eat you. Your body has this survival mechanism where your autonomic nervous system ramps up and it causes all these hormones to be secreted to keep us alive. Cortisol, adrenaline, endorphins, all of these things that cause your body to have the oxygen and the energy and the vision even to be able to make the decision to run and to survive, right? So now if we were being chased by a lion, hopefully we outrun the lion and or we kill the lion and we celebrate our life afterwards that we survived. That cycle right there kind of completes this stress loop, right? So you had this emotionally charged event that was, you know, risking your life. So it was essentially something that could have killed you. So your brain responded to it. And then afterwards, you had this feeling of safety because either the lion was killed or you got away from it and you celebrated that your life was saved and you're living, right? So it completes that stress cycle of that stress cycle loop, and hormonal stress cycle, right? Now, once we've gone through that, right? We, if you think back to survival, that didn't happen constantly all day, every day, for the most part, right? Like you might encounter something that was scary, but you got over it and then you went back to living your daily life and things were okay. What we're seeing in our lives right now, and it's really funny because your brain does not really know the difference between, you know, the stress of a lion chasing you necessarily and, you know, somebody making a snarky comment to you at work. Both of those things feel stressful to your body. Both of those things create that physiological response, right? With all the hormones that are secreted in your body to make your heart race, to, you know, make your blood sugar raise, right? Increase your blood pressure, all of those things. What the problem is that in our day-to-day lives, we suppress our response, right? So if somebody makes a nasty comment to you at work, the socially acceptable thing to do would be to sit back and to not say anything, right? So that you're not confronting them, you're not, completing that cycle. You kind of blunt your response. Now, the hormonal change is happening in your body. You know, you have all of these chemicals that are released, but there's no event that closes it, right? No event that closes or completes that stress cycle. You go back to your job. You're probably still stewing about what happened. And essentially that's telling your brain that you're still not safe, even though you are, right? You're not going to get eaten by a lion at work, but your brain doesn't know the difference. So this hormonal cascade kind of stays up or stays high, right? So now picture those events happening multiple times a day. Could be traffic, could be, you know, the stress of your workplace, whatever that stress may be. There's so many different sources of stress. Even sitting all day long is stressful for your body. So it's this accumulation of stressors and your inability to, at the time, complete that stress cycle physiologically in your body. So all these hormones are still kind of running high and you never give your body that sense of I am safe now. Now there are things that you can do that would signal to your body that you are now safe. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But at work, you don't have that opportunity normally, or in your day-to-day life, right? It's just not socially acceptable to, you know, celebrate your safety and having lived through this awful experience at work, right? And we've been taught that, you know, it's just not socially acceptable. And especially if you're a woman, we tend to, and not always, but we tend to, and if you're suffering from burnout, you're probably in that bucket of people who, you know, hold back, and you tend to just sort of swallow the stress and not say anything about it. You know that it's not nice necessarily to speak up and confront people. You know, we're really trying to be good girls and do the right thing, say the right thing. So again, that stress cycle never gets completed. And all those hormones, because the brain can't tell the difference between your life-threatening source of stress and just normal day-to-day stress, it affects us nonetheless. The problem again with these day-to-day stressors is that they become chronic, and we're in this chronic cycle of releasing hormones like the cortisol and endorphins and adrenaline. And these things cause us to gain weight because when our body is afraid for survival, it makes us want to eat. So over time, though, this physiological cascade, this cycle leads to burnout because the body then changes and goes into survival mode, and it slows things down. So there comes a point, and I think a lot of times, like the initial symptoms, let's say, of burnout are maybe you're a little hypervigilant, maybe you're a little irritable and fidgety and jumpy, and this sort of heightened sense of awareness for things. And then it gets to the point where your body is in survival mode. And this is what might feel like you've hit a wall. This is when it leads to exhaustion and apathy, and you just don't care anymore. It's like really hard to get out of bed. You can't even muster up the energy to be excited about these things anymore. So you're not like actively as stressed about them. You just sort of shut down. This can also then cause your metabolism to slow down because your brain is trying to keep you alive, and it thinks if you're in this chronic state of stress that it needs to slow things down in order for you to live. So this is when it becomes really difficult to lose weight because your thyroid function actually starts to slow down. Hormonally, you are conserving everything. So you might be eating pretty good, and I've seen this with my clients, and it's very frustrating. But your body is in such a fight or flight mode, or it's actually kind of at this point where it's like, okay, I need to stop being in a fight or flight mode because this is going to kill me. That, and not literally, but that's what the brain is thinking, that I need to slow everything down. So then it becomes really hard to lose weight. You still want to eat because eating feels good and makes us feel better. It's a way that we sometimes then cope with stress. But we are in this hormonal state where your body's like, okay, I need to conserve and hold on to every little calorie that you put into your body. And it holds it there, mainly in your belly. So you may notice over a period of time that we start to store this excess weight as fat in our belly. So there are things that we can do to help end the stress cycle. And that's what I'm going to get to next. Okay, so to get out of that stress cycle, the cycle where you feel like it's never ending, right? Your body never knows that you're safe. Okay, I'm going to give you some like really good, just easy things. And I say easy, meaning they're simple. I know if you're feeling like this, it may feel really hard to get over the urge to not do anything. So it's maybe you may have to really overcome and kind of push yourself to do this stuff. But exercising is a really great way. It's been proven scientifically. And we all know this, right? But we know that exercise feels good. What we don't realize, and what I think is really, really important, is that exercising is kind of like after you've been chased by the lion, it tells your body that you're alive and safe. it means that you're okay. So it ends that stress cycle in your body. It's really, really interesting. I was reading about this recently, and this makes a lot of sense. So I know if you're stressed and you're burnt out and you're coming home and you're depleted, the last thing you feel like doing is moving. But it is probably the most effective way. And you don't have to exercise. You don't have to go to an exercise class. You don't have to run a mile even. Anything physical can help. So it could be going out and raking the leaves for 15 minutes, although that may not sound wonderful to you, but it will hormonally help reduce the stress hormones from cycling in your body. So exercising is one. Progressive muscle relaxation, you can look up how to do that, as another way to do it. So just lying down and tightening your muscles and relaxing them and doing each muscle group in your body. Like if you started with your shoulders and tightening up your shoulder, tightening up your jaw and relaxing it, working all the way down to your shoulders. Hands and arms, and, you know, just working every different muscle group in your body and relaxing. So that could also work. Meditating is really good. And everybody knows this is another one that's been proven over and over and over again. And one of my suggestions is, unless you're a meditator, and if you meditate, you're probably not burnt out and you're probably not listening to this podcast. So if you're not in that group, you're probably in the group of, yes, I know I should meditate. I know that it helps people, but I don't know how to do it. And I, you know, most people are resistant to trying it because it's kind of like hard to do. I think listening to the apps that walk you through short meditations is a really great place to start. It may sound silly, but trust me, just try it. Doing 5 minutes, right? I know you're busy. 5 minutes of meditating or doing some deep breathing. Meditating is going to help put you into the present. So that's just a great exercise for your brain to be able to do, to be able to kind of bring you down to the present moment, and being aware of your surroundings and how you're feeling. And that can help you immensely in so many different ways. But doing that, I forgot where I was going with that actually, but meditating is a great way to sort of calm your mind. It also, that and deep breathing. So there's so many different ways you could do deep breathing, but if you're focusing on the exhale of your breath, that's where the relaxation comes in. And it's actually really fascinating because when you are focusing on the exhale and you're breathing, and actually if you kind of exhale with a little throaty like yoga exhale, it actually is stimulating something in your nervous system called the vagus nerve. And that nerve, when it's stimulated, calms your sympathetic nervous system response. So it's actually really, really cool. I can talk more and more. I could talk for days about all this stuff, but I will spare you. If you want to have a deep coaching conversation with me, just contact me and I can help you out with that. Laughing is another way to tell your nervous system that you're okay. So maybe you leave work, right? And let's say, for example, your job is stressful. It's burning you out. You're feeling depleted at the end of the day. Maybe you don't have time to exercise. Like literally, there are sometimes circumstances where I can imagine you don't have time to exercise, but we all are in the car. So listening to, you know, something, well, you can't really meditate when you're in the car, but you could listen to things that are relaxing, right? But laughing is a great way to signal to your brain that you are okay. So this would be sort of like second or third best. If you couldn't exercise, you didn't have time to meditate, you know, deep breathing you could always do, but laughing, putting on something really hilarious and funny, or just calling someone who makes you laugh, it's a great way to get out of that stress cycle. And then lastly, hopefully, if you're going home and you have a significant other, hugging someone for a good 20 seconds can actually sort of signal to your brain. Or maybe even if you don't have a significant other, honestly, I think this can be even more effective sometimes. But I hug my dog. Literally, I will hug my dog. And it does. It just calms me down. And I didn't think of it until just now, but that's probably why, because it does. It signals to your brain that everything is okay, that you are safe. And that will close that stress cycle loop. So all of these things can cause a physiological change in the stress cycle in your body. So that stress cycle being your fight or flight, right? When we exercise, we signal to the brain that we're okay. And then, you know, the stress response can calm down. And once we show the brain that we're okay, and we need to, it needs to be something specific. You might, I don't know, maybe you can tell yourself you're okay. That might actually help as well if you really believe it and you feel it. But this is something that's really, really critical and something that you can pretty easily do, right? I mean, you would have to really convince me that you can't do any one of these things to help you get out of your stress cycle on a day-to-day basis. But then there are stressors in our lives and circumstances that we can't always control that cause burnout as well. And unless we have the luxury or the opportunity to change our job or change our environment, it's not always an option, at least not in the short term. I do think wholeheartedly, and again, you'd have to really make a good argument to make me think that this isn't true. We are always able to change our circumstances if they are that bad, for the most part. So I do think that there are things that we can be doing to change our life circumstances. And you know, I'm probably going to talk about this a little bit more, but I was really burnt out in what I was doing at work. And that's what led me to find other things that light me up. And one of them being actually the thing that has really been my source of inspiration and has helped me tremendously with burnout is becoming a health and a life coach. So I'll talk about that more at another time. So let's look at burnout a little bit deeper and kind of where the stress comes from in our day-to-day life. So we have the stress in our body, which is what we talked about, your fight or flight, and ways that you can in your body kind of deal with that stress. And I think if nothing else from this podcast, you can stop listening and I think take one of those things and it will help you. But let's talk a little bit more in depth about what burnout is, because we all have stress, right? So you can have stress and not have burnout, right? Because it's a continuum. And if you start to implement some of those things, hopefully that help reduce that stress response in your body, maybe you can reduce the burnout or maybe even prevent the burnout from happening. So I want to look at like what is burnout actually happening in your body, right? So we know that it is an accumulation of stress and it's this chronic state of dissatisfaction or unhappiness that causes physical and mental and emotional responses in our body. And we talked a little bit about the response inside of our body. It can actually cause our blood pressure to stay up. It can make it harder for us to recover from illnesses. You may find that if you're in burnout, that your immune system is actually worn down and you could be more susceptible to getting sick. It can cause us to overeat or undereat, honestly. Sometimes if you're in this panic, and there have been times where it can hit me both ways, but sometimes the stress is so bad that I don't want to eat anything and I will drop a bunch of weight. And other times the stress is sort of this low-lying dissatisfaction and unhappiness that causes me to want to eat for emotional reasons. So I'm eating to feel better about things, which then causes weight gain. Stress and burnout can cause us to sleep too much. And I think that's when it really gets to the burnout phase because it's like you can't even get up. But then it can also just disrupt our sleep and make it really, really difficult to stay asleep, especially if your mind is kind of spinning and, you know, you're in that heightened state. Another interesting thing, and this is actually like a double whammy if you're overly stressed or in burnout is that it can kind of incapacitate or reduce our capacity to think at higher levels. So it may make us actually have some cognitive issues like forgetfulness. We may even avoid things in lives. Like, you know, there have been times that like, I would avoid social situations because I just didn't feel like I could even socialize or take on anymore. So I would just avoid the whole conversation and stay away from people so that I wouldn't have to say no or wouldn't, I don't know. It was just such a weird thing. But yeah, we can sometimes just like disengage in life. But the other kind of double whammy with it affecting our cognition is that then we become stuck. Because our cognitive capacity is reduced, we're less creative, we're less apt to come up with solutions. We kind of get stuck in this like hamster wheel. It's like, you know, you're running from something, but you're not getting anywhere because you really don't even have the capacity to think at a high level to figure out how to get out of it. People may be just exhausted, have headaches, stomach aches. Again, some of this is redundant, but you know, you may feel like extra irritable or hypervigilant, and not feeling motivated, which kind of goes without saying, but it's kind of that feeling of like you're more unmotivated than not. So you have more bad days than good. That's kind of what burnout is, right? Just a little side note here. If you're in a helping career, and we've seen this since the pandemic, that's where I'm coming from. And I think one of the things that has affected me the most is just working in healthcare. And this could be for anybody in a helping career, especially, like I said, since the pandemic. But teachers as well, we're just constantly depleted because we're always sort of filling other people's needs, sometimes at our own expense, and we're never refilling our cup. Like it's constant. We're just constantly giving, giving, giving. The demands of the job may be above and beyond what we are able to fulfill. And then there's judgment placed on top of that. So then we feel bad about ourselves because we're not doing as good of a job based on the expectations of what people think we should be doing. And now if you are a caretaker at home, then you're coming home, you're feeling depleted, maybe you're short with your kids or your spouse. And then that becomes another layer of judgment because you feel bad about yourself. You feel bad that you're in this position, that you're not doing the best job ever. So, you know, it really becomes this cycle of, you know, not being able to fulfill, but you're being asked to care for people, then you're feeling bad because you're fatigued and maybe you're not performing at your best self. And there's a lot of self-judgment and blame when it comes to that. So some of the major causes of burnout. Now, I just alluded to one of them, and that's sort of like the expectations being really, really high, especially in those helping careers. But you just have too much work to do. And it could even be, you know, you could be a professional executive, right? And you may not be taking care of people, but you just have work being piled, more and more responsibility, and just feeling constantly overwhelmed. Or you could be doing work that's incredibly boring and unfulfilling, and it just leads to this pervasive loss of motivation. One of our basic needs in life is to have challenge and to grow and to have meaning in the things that we do. So boring and monotonous work can actually make us feel less motivated. And then there's just that overwhelmed too much work. Like I said before, it's beyond our capacity, even if you're not in a helping career, but just mentally and physically, we're just doing too much and not refilling our cup, right? Not giving back to and replenishing our own emotional stores. Another source of work-related stress could be related to this perception of lack of control. And I see this a lot in healthcare, is that we have no control over decisions that are happening above us but affect us. So you feel like everything is just happening to you, right? You know, you may feel like your managers don't trust you. Maybe they're micromanaging you and looking at everything that you're doing and pointing out all the things you're doing wrong. But, you know, burnout can actually happen when you just feel like your job's constantly shifting and changing and you're working on things that you don't want to be working on. And you have a limited capacity to move up in your job too. So not only are you being sort of pushed around, so to speak, or that's what maybe what it feels like to you, like now do this and do that. And now you can't do this anymore. You have to do it this way. And it's just, you just feel like you're the victim of circumstance, right? Like you're just, everything is happening around you and you have absolutely no say in it. And it can happen, and I see this a lot too. And gosh, if you add all of these things up, it's just, it can feel really awful. But you feel like you're not even rewarded. So you're being pushed and pushed and pushed to do all of this work, right? And nobody thanks you. Nobody says good job. You know, there's no meaning for it behind the work. Like maybe it's work that's not even meaningful. You feel like it's not effective, which is even worse, and nobody's listening, right? So the amount of time and effort that you're putting into it can just make you feel this chronic loss of inspiration and without any kind of positive feedback or support from either your coworkers or your management, you know, that could be another source of burnout. You may see a pattern here. And as I was writing this, this actually occurred to me and it's kind of occurring to me in real time as I record this, but burnout is all of the things that we need as humans. We need the feeling of safety. We need the feeling of meaning and growth and purpose. All of these basic needs, the freedom to make choice. I'm sort of blanking on the on all of the basic human needs. But when those things are not happening on a day-to-day basis in our lives, I think that's what's actually causing this burnout. Because the other one is connection to other people. And we do as humans need and feel the need. It's part of one of our survival needs, is to be connected to other people and to feel safe in our environment, having camaraderie and connection with our coworkers, our family, our friends, all of that is a basic need. And so, you know, if you're at work and you're feeling, you know, either people are outwardly being mean to you or there's some unfair treatment, you know, some people that you work with are getting special treatment and you're not, that can also lead to burnout. So I know a lot of this conversation is actually work-related burnout, and I think that's the area that has impacted me the most. So I have a little bit of a bias there, but there could be toxic home environments or relationships that you're in that can actually create burnout as well. So most of this conversation, again, is kind of work-related, but it could also pertain to your home environment and who you're around and the people that you live with. Another source of burnout is when your values as a person, and actually one of the things I do as a life coach is that we look at what your values are in life, because it's really, really important to be aware of what is important to you in life. Because when it's vague and you don't know, and they're not aligning well with either the people that you associate with or the company that you're working for, when they're not aligning, that can be very depleting, right? So if you're in a health profession, for example, you know, most likely you've been drawn to this because you want to help people and you value that. You value health, you value taking care of people. That's what you find important and meaningful. And if your company's mission or their values is more for profit, that misalignment can actually be very stressful. And you can see this because, you know, you're trying to kind of fight for your patients and giving them the best care possible, whereas the company is saying, well, that's not as important as the bottom line and being profitable. So that can also be very, very stressful, particularly in the health environment, but I'm sure that this could pertain to anybody. I know teachers are dealing with this as well. You know, they're more invested in the child learning, and sometimes the school districts are more invested in test scores, right, and measurement and things like that. Having a toxic work environment, whether it's pervasively negative from management or coworkers, if you're being yelled at or not supported by management for negativity from customers, this can create a lot of stress in your body. And if you have no way of controlling this or no way of coping with this in a healthy way, this can definitely lead to burnout. And I've seen this in the work environment where you have patients who you want to help, but they are maybe beyond the scope of what you're able to do. You know, this sometimes happens with people who have mental illness, and they need other kinds of help, and you just, that's what they need. But you are kind of not supported by management against some of the abuses that you can be exposed to. And if that's happening chronically and you're feeling completely helpless in being able to, or you're not supported in a healthy way, even if you have to be exposed to this abuse from someone, that could definitely lead to burnout. It's a big problem. So how do you know if you're in burnout mode, right? So we've talked a lot about the causes of burnout. And so I want to just say that burnout can happen really slowly over time. So you may be feeling bad and unmotivated. You may not want to get up for work. You may not really notice it right away. You do know you're in a bad place, but not really put your finger on it as burnout. So I just want to like go over what it is. Like what does it feel like? We become accustomed to it. And I say we, meaning this is how I felt. I didn't really realize it. So it was really running my world and I made some kind of rash decisions at different times because I wasn't dealing with it very well. It just sometimes became so overwhelming that I felt like I had to get out. But then there are times where we do, for whatever reason, we just put one foot in front of the other and we try to do what we can, but we're just miserable as we're doing it. And I actually did allude to this earlier, but you could have exhaustion and irritability. You may find that you're just complaining about people all the time and you're having a really hard time finding anything positive, and you're definitely not excited or inspired by anything. And you may even step back and wonder, like, why am I doing this? Is this even worth it? You may be apathetic as a caregiver. It's caregiver fatigue. You're feeling less empathy for people. And you know you're a caring person. So then you're also feeling like crap because you know you shouldn't feel like that. So there's that added layer of judgment. So what can we do to help or prevent or deal with burnout when you're in this cycle? Now, I did allude earlier to some of the things that you can do to help complete the stress cycle. So those are really, really important. We kind of think of them as having outlets, right? But there's an actual reason for having those outlets, and it's for completing that stress cycle in your body. So recognizing what's going on in your body, that you're either in a stress cycle or you're tending towards burnout, is really, really important so that you can start prioritizing yourself. Practicing self-care, calming your nervous system down. These are all things that are really, really important. But there are other things that can help you not have as much stress coming at you, right? So there are ways to deal with the stress, right? So you have a stressful day. Somebody says something to you that's unfair. You can't really speak up about it, or maybe you don't have support at work. So you go home, you go for a walk, and you sort of kind of cope with the stress that way, right? So you calm your body down, you feel better afterwards. Hopefully you're refreshed, you get a good night's sleep. You go to work the next day and you're ready to take on the day. Other things that you can do, and this is actually one that I've had to work on quite a bit, and it's something that I work with deeply within myself and also with my coaching clients, because this is easier said than done. So I'm going to give you some of these suggestions. Implementing them is the piece that coaching really helps with. I think it's awesome if you can work on this on your own, and actually it can change your life if you could just work on some of these things on your own. But again, if you are struggling with these things, it really does help to reach out to a coach and get some help with it. But if you're wanting to please everyone and everything and you have a hard time saying no, that's one of the things that can be really, really depleting. So having good boundaries in your life, at work, at home, usually if you have a hard time with boundaries, it's not just in one area of your life. It's often in different areas of your life. But being able to say no and really prioritizing yourself and you know, your mental health, your emotional health, your well-being needs to be a priority for you. And you need to have enough love for yourself that you're willing to put yourself first in certain circumstances. And I think it's essential. It's not something that means that you're selfish. It's really, really necessary. Because if you want to be thinking healthy and emotionally strong and resilient for the people that are important in your life, whether it's the people that you work with or work for or for your family, it's really necessary. As you can probably gather from this whole conversation, if you're always putting yourself last and you're not able to say no, if you're not able to have boundaries at work, and you're constantly depleted, then you're really going to struggle being good for anyone. Now, I will say, again, this is the work of working with a coach, but when you're laying judgment on top of that, like I shouldn't be a people pleaser, and now you're judging yourself for these things that you may realize you're doing, you're adding even more negativity on top of it, which is even more depleting. So, you know, yes, you want to learn to say no, but you also want to have some grace for yourself when you mess up. And messing up could be taking on too much. Your intentions are good, so it's a mess up in a good way, in a sense, right? Because you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to please everyone. And adding a layer of judgment onto that and kind of beating yourself up for having good intentions is not helpful. It's only going to deplete you more. So having boundaries is not selfish, and it's sometimes really necessary. One of the things that has been really helpful for me in different situations, especially, you know, because of my career in healthcare and some of the issues that I've had with burnout. And I'm not going to get into all the reasons behind that, but having this other business on the side. So I've been developing my coaching business slowly but surely on the side and you know, diving into this content and, you know, helping people in a different way, in a way that I actually have more control because I don't have anyone to answer to but myself. It's not easy necessarily, but I feel like I've taken back control. I feel like I can impact the world. It's very inspiring and fulfilling to me. This is something that I can work on all the time, and I'm inspired by it. It doesn't deplete me. I work on projects that excite me. I help people in a way that's exciting to me. And so I do have boundaries when it comes to my work and my home life. And those are things that I'm continually working on. But having a passion project or having other things or another source rather of inspiration in your life. So if you're only having work, like work, if work is your identity and it's not fulfilling to you anymore, and maybe you can't quite change that circumstance in your life right now, you can sometimes look at finding other things that are really fulfilling. And that's another thing that I really find exciting to work on with people from a health coach and a life coaching perspective, actually more life coaching. But another thing that's really helped me is lowering my expectations and thoughts about what people should or shouldn't be doing for me at work, right? Because when people are not fulfilling what we think they should be doing for us, then we have this judgment and this sort of added layer of resistance on top of what something we're maybe not happy about, right? Or we are really taking to heart other people's opinions about us, right? So you may feel, and a lot of this is what we think their opinions mean, right? So it's our interpretation, but I just don't let that stuff bother me anymore. Honestly, like, you know, I know why I'm doing things and I can only manage my own mind. I really can't control what other people are thinking and what they're doing. If I know what I'm doing is the right thing, then I just need to accept that and be good about it, you know, or be good for it and not be, you know, expecting other people to understand me, expecting other people to pat me on the back for the work that I've done. It may, you know, if someone is thankful, that's great, but I don't need it anymore. Now, there might be a time and a place where the environment that you're working in or living in is so toxic, that it's obvious that it's, if, you know, how can I say this? But there are certain environments that are just so toxic that you really need a plan B, right? And if you can, changing a job or, you know, ending a relationship might be the best outcome. And it's a difficult decision, but that there are those situations where you can do all the internal work and the thought work and really building resilience. And you know, you might come to the conclusion that you just want to change the circumstance, and that's okay too. So, you know, recognizing that and moving on isn't always a bad thing. And actually, that could be the best thing in those certain circumstances for you to get out of burnout and for your own health. Because we can't always control, right, what's going on in our work environment. And you know, you might be able to go to through certain channels and talk to people and try to make things right. But, you know, I know the reality of that. It's not always the case. So another source of burnout can happen when you've primarily lived your life according to what you think other people think you should be doing versus what you really want to do deep down inside. And sometimes that may be going on and we don't even know that it is, right? We may not even know. We may be like, I'm not happy with what I'm doing, but I have no idea what I want to do because you've been living your life for everyone else, anticipating everybody else's needs and never really thinking about what you need. It's such a weird thing, but I talk to a lot of my mom friends about this, and you know, we do fall into this a little bit, I think, when we're raising children, right? Because our lives just become all about them and it is so fulfilling, but then they move on and we're kind of like, okay, what next, right? Like, I don't even know what I like doing anymore. Sometimes too, we've chosen a career right out of high school, right? And then by the time we're 40, we've changed. And, you know, what was once fulfilling isn't, or maybe we chose a career because our parents told us to, right? And I think when we get into that age of our 40s and 50s, we really start to reevaluate a lot of these things. And I do think that that's where burnout can become an issue. I did experience burnout early on in my career, actually. So it's not something I think that as a 40-something-year-old, is more prevalent. I really don't know, because when I was in my mid-20s, I was getting burnt out as well. I was also working a ton more hours, so that could have been part of it, and the pressures that I put on myself. So some of it was actually more self-inflicted than the environment that I was working in. Actually, I think a lot of it was more self-inflicted than the work environment. But when we're in our 40s, you know, hormonally, we have some shifts going on, especially us women. We have a lot more on our plates. So there's just so much more to juggle. There's more expectations. And if you've already kind of come to this point of your life with some of these other issues like people pleasing and not having good boundaries, then it all becomes too much. And so this kind of makes me think about why some people, and this actually circles back to my original statement about, you know, some people, things just roll off of them, right? Why me? Why am I so prone to burnout? You know, some people can just take stress in stride, right? They have healthy boundaries. They have other sources of nourishment. They take care of themselves. They also don't let other people's opinions bother them so much, and maybe have healthier coping mechanisms to deal with life stress. Some people don't feel the need to be recognized as much by other people. They're more self-sufficient when it comes to their feelings of self-worth, right? All of these things are really mindset. And some of us have a more resilient mindset than others. The good thing is that you can always become more resilient. This is not something that you're necessarily born with, but growing up, you probably develop some of these ways of thinking, limiting beliefs, thoughts that are limiting you now. And they're kind of coping skills, right? Or resilience ways of thinking. These are things that we can change. And I think the exciting thing for me out of all of this that I have realized, and anybody who knows me is like, you know, I'm so into personal development, is that these things have really helped. And I've learned to coach myself, and I've had coaching on some of these issues, and they have been like a huge weight off my shoulders, like just huge aha moments and transformations in my life. So those things have been really, really helpful, just in my expectations of people and realizing how my own thoughts and expectations can be what's causing some of this, right? Like we had talked about the environment being overly stressful. Well, you know, part of that is also our interpretation of the environment and how we talk to ourselves and what we make everything mean. And I know some of this is easier said than done. And again, I've worked on these myself, and it's hard work, and it's not something that necessarily overnight for me has changed. But over the years, as I've gotten better at this, and as I've put things into different perspectives, that I've been able to work on it. And I've gone back to a job several times that burnt me out. And I've had to go back for financial reasons. And I see things very differently, and it's the same exact environment. So really, those mindset shifts can be just incredible and incredibly helpful. So my gift to you today is the hope that you can change. And there are ways of coping and dealing with these things. Definitely, it's something that, you know, there are resources out there if things are to the point where, you know, it's impacting you functionally, you know, getting a mental health professional involved and really helping you in that way. Coaching can actually also be really helpful, and that's helped me tremendously. So being coached, coaching myself, and doing all of the research on these things. But there's definitely resources out there. I hope this was helpful for you. I know that this is a big problem and a lot of people are stressed and burnt out. And I just want to offer you that perspective that there is a way out. And if you need more help on this subject, feel free to reach out and I'd love your feedback. So I am going to finish up. This is a long one today, guys. Not even quite sure how to end it because this was kind of a heavy topic, but hope y'all are having a great day. And I can offer that little glimmer of hope and give you some ways to start working on the stress cycle in your life. See you next time. Hey, one more thing. I created a worksheet for you guys on how to stress less. And you can find the link to that worksheet actually in the show notes below this episode. So little freebie for you guys. It's a great way for me to keep in touch with you as well so that I can tell you more about all the other awesome things that I have coming down the pike to help you out. So anyway, check that out in the show notes, and I will see you all next time.